For the past several years, I have enjoyed watching Gold Rush on Discovery Channel. Any Gold Rush fans out there? Laura watches with me. I've got a couple people who know what it is, at least. It follows modern-day gold miners up in Alaska and the Yukon, Canada area. And because gold prices have gone up so much, particularly in the last year, but even over the last decade, it's worth for these folks the tremendous effort and expense they put in to go and dig up. Often they're digging where people 100 years ago dug and found lots of gold, and now they're digging even deeper in those same areas and finding more gold. So they go in with bulldozers and rock trucks and big heavy equipment, and that's why it's fun to watch all the stuff they use there. And they clear off acres of land. In some cases they have to dig down 40 feet, removing 40 feet of worthless dirt to get down to where the pay dirt is, where the gravel and where the gold might be found. And then they take that good ground and they run it through what's called a wash plant. And so the water sprays the rocks and the dirt and washes away the worthless stuff, and the heavier gold sinks down and then is eventually filtered out and caught for them to then turn it into money, of course. But what they're looking for is not nuggets of gold, not big blocks of gold, but just little specks, little dust of gold. And that's what they eventually filter out of all this worthless material that they run through. And so these miners will spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in equipment and manpower and fuel costs, all to find enough gold to fill maybe a mason jar. But because gold costs or is worth now $1,800 an ounce, some of these miners end up making millions of dollars in their season of work. So it's an interesting show if you ever want to watch it. They do bleep out all the bad words, as you can imagine. Gold miners don't always have nice language, but it's hard not to imagine what they actually said. But anyway, it's an interesting show to watch. Now, I say all this to make the point that God offers us something even more valuable than gold. And it's something that he says we have to search for, that we have to seek after, that we have to set our hearts on finding, and that we have to work hard to acquire. God offers us wisdom, wisdom that is more valuable than gold, biblical wisdom that is worth more than jewels, God's wisdom that is a greater blessing in our lives than any wealth or worldly power could offer us. God gave King Solomon great wisdom. He's known in Scripture as the wisest person ever to live. And Solomon, along with the wise decisions he made as king and all the wise things that he did in his life, also wrote a portion of the Bible. And his best known work is the book of Proverbs, this book that is filled with Solomon's wise sayings. But even more than that, Proverbs is an invitation to seek after God's wisdom. And so we can read the wisdom that he gave to Solomon, but God still gives wisdom today into our lives and the specific decisions that we may have to make or how we need to lead our lives. God wants to give us his wisdom to help us. So we can mine our relationship with God to find the wisdom that he has for us. So listen to this from kind of halfway through the book of Proverbs, chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She's also set her table. She has sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point of the city, "Let all who are simple come to my house." To those who have no sense, she says, "Come eat my food, drink the wine I've mixed. Leave your simple ways, and you will live. Walk in the way of insight." Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers, or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise, and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. Last week we talked about prayer as we were reading in the Psalms, and we talked about how God wants us to pray, and He wants us to pray so much that He sends His Spirit to inspire our prayers, and He gives us words to pray in the Psalms and other parts of Scripture. And in the same way, God wants us to find His wisdom. And so He gives us wisdom in His Word, and He sends His Spirit into our lives to give us wisdom, to sort of whisper God's wisdom into our hearts so that we can know how to live and please God. Now, you might wonder, why is wisdom so valuable? You know, I talked about the gold miners out there working hard to find the little bit of gold, and you think, is wisdom really as valuable as money or wealth or power? You can't buy anything with wisdom. You can buy things with gold and money and wealth. What does wisdom do for you? Biblical wisdom is, and these are my words, but this is a good way to think about it, it's seeing the world, seeing your own life, seeing other people from God's perspective. It's learning how to see things through God's eyes, so that you can then begin to understand what matters in life versus what doesn't really matter, what's truly valuable versus those things that are worthless, those things that you should work hard for versus those things that are really not worth your time. With wisdom, we can know how best to treat other people and how to care for our families. You can learn how to run a business or organize your household or manage your finances or plan for the future. God's wisdom can give us those practical insights so that we can order our lives in the way that God says is right. God's wisdom also leads us away from harm and leads us to the paths that are safe in life. Wisdom can keep us from doing foolish things, things that often hurt other people, or even things that hurt ourselves. And so often we make decisions that we end up bearing the consequence of our own foolishness. But God's wisdom can keep us from falling into those traps. With wisdom, we can lead lives that please God. And for all of those reasons, wisdom is valuable. We usually think about wisdom in terms of decisions that we make. We read the stories of Solomon, and as king, he would make wise decisions and help individual people or even the whole nation. And that's part of wisdom, is making good decisions, knowing right from wrong. But wisdom is also about your character. It's about how God can shape you to be the kind of person He wants you to be, so you can have integrity, so you can follow the values that God says are most important, the priorities in your life, that they will be ordered according to God's wisdom instead of what the world may say you should value. Wisdom is also about morality. It's about doing what is right and avoiding what's wrong. You see, a wise person doesn't just make good choices. A wise person leads a life that brings honor to God. And so how you treat your family and friends, or how you deal with hardship in your life, or how you overcome conflict or resolve a conflict with peace, or how you manage your finances, all of these things will lead us in a way that God can bless our lives and lead us away from those things that will maybe bring more hardship to us. So the opening verses of Proverbs chapter 9 describe a banquet. And in fact, it sort of personifies wisdom. It says, wisdom is throwing this banquet. Wisdom has prepared food and mixed wine and has this beautiful house ready. And wisdom sends out those people to invite everyone to come in and enjoy the banquet. And it's sort of a little parable that is meant to tell us that God's desire for us is that we will find his wisdom. He invites us to come and enjoy this great banquet at which we will feast on the wisdom that he has for us. God wants us to find wisdom. And so what we learn from these opening verses is that God invites us to find wisdom in his word and from his spirit and through other believers. This banquet of wisdom shows us really how much God loves us. He wants our lives to be built on his wisdom, because he knows that if we walk in his ways, if we walk in those ways that are directed by his word and by the insight that he can give us, then we're going to find a good and peaceful life. Not that everything will be perfect, but at least that we will know that God is leading us through even the hardships of our life. God's leading us through them toward better days. God's wisdom will keep us from falling into trouble and hardship. So he invites us to find wisdom. In verse 4, the invitation goes out, "Let all who are simple come to my house." And don't be insulted by being called simple. That just means you haven't found enough wisdom yet. You start out simple in life, like a child who needs to learn and grow and mature. And as you grow, you leave behind those simple ways, those simple thoughts, and you replace them with wisdom, with wise and with ways of living that are honoring to God. And that's what God desires for us. And so he holds out wisdom to us, I think, in three main ways. The first is by giving us his word. Scripture is full of God's wisdom for how we can lead our lives. Not just Proverbs, although you can read through Proverbs and find all sorts of little nuggets of wisdom that will help you to, again, make good decisions or lead a moral, upright life. But then we heard earlier in the service from Jesus' words and the Beatitudes, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus, of course, taught much wisdom to us through his parables, through his teaching, all the ways that Jesus imparted God's word, God's truth, so that we would know how to lead lives that honor him. Then you can read later into Paul's writings the letters that he sent to the New Testament churches, which are filled with theology often, but also practical guidance, how the church should be run, how we should lead our own lives, how we can honor God as followers of Jesus. You can go back into the Old Testament law, and we may not follow the exact letter of the law as the Israelites did today, but we still read there ways of leading your life that will bring honor to God. And as we read the law, we learn who God is and what it means to be holy. And we find there again God's wisdom. And the more we take his word into our hearts, and the more we commit ourselves to living according to God's word, the more we will find his wisdom growing in our hearts. And we will grow in our ability to see our lives and the lives of others through God's eyes. And our knowledge of God and our knowledge of his word will shape us to being wise people. God also holds out his wisdom through the Holy Spirit. And again, we talked about how the Spirit helps us to pray last week. Well, in the same way, the Spirit gives us God's wisdom as he speaks directly into our heart. It's why when we pray, we not only want to speak to God, but we want to listen to what he's saying to us. And we want to allow God's voice to speak into our hearts and wonder, what is the Spirit going to say to me? And maybe you're facing a difficult moment in your life or a decision that you're not sure which way to go, and you can ask God, please show me. Please speak to me. And the Holy Spirit can direct you, sometimes in very clear and almost audible ways. Sometimes as you read God's Word, suddenly a verse will come out to you speaking directly to what you're facing in your life. The Spirit can guide us in those ways. Often I think the Spirit also speaks to us in a third way that God can give us wisdom, and that is through other believers. God may send someone else into your life that speaks, who can speak His truth to you. Here we have a collection of believers. Our church is full of people who love God and read His Word and have been shaped by the wisdom that God has given them and even by the experiences of their lives. And so when I'm facing difficulty, it may be that one of you can speak God's wisdom to me. Or maybe I can speak God's wisdom into your life. I'm often amazed at the wisdom of God's people that comes out in Bible studies or Sunday school class. We just had a gathering downstairs, and I may come into the class prepared to lead and teach, and I have my own ideas, but I'm often amazed at what other people there will say, things that I hadn't thought of, and how they'll bring out of God's Word ideas and truths that maybe I had missed. And it's that collection of wisdom that God enables us to share with one another. And as God's Word says, iron sharpens iron, that we help one another to grow in wisdom together. So God invites us to this banquet of wisdom. Come and eat my food, He says. And the question for us is, will we go to that banquet or not? Will we read His Word? Will we listen to the Spirit? Will we go to other believers when we need guidance? Some people joyfully receive what God offers, but others don't think they need it. Verses 7 through 9 describe the difference between the wise people who listen to God and the mockers or the fools who try to go their own way. And here's what we learn. Wise people have teachable hearts, but fools reject wisdom. Verse 8 says, "Do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you." In other words, people who don't want to hear from God, people who have no interest in His wisdom, if you try to correct them, if you try to speak God's wisdom to them, they don't want to hear it. And they'll end up rejecting you because you've spoken God's word to them. But then it says, rebuke the wise, and they will love you. In other words, those who want to hear from God, even if what they hear from Scripture, from another believer, is a word of rebuke, oh, your life really isn't the way God wants it to be. Someone who is seeking after God will hear that as correction and will be humble enough to say, yes, I need to hear that. That's what it means to have a teachable heart. It begins with humility, to say, I know I don't know everything. I know I'm not yet fully wise. I know I still need to hear from God. I'm willing to listen instead of always talking. I'm ready to learn from God, I'm ready to learn from other people. But you see, some people think they have it all figured out. Some people think they know it all, or if they don't know it yet, they'll figure it out later, and they're fine all on their own. They're arrogant and boastful. They're wise in their own eyes. They don't listen to counsel. They don't listen to good advice. They aren't humble enough to admit when they're wrong. Scripture calls people like this mockers, calls them wicked, calls them fools. There are some very smart and successful people who are fools. And eventually their folly, their pride, their vanity is going to be their downfall. And we see it all the time happen. You can kind of see it coming in certain people's lives. In the world of politics, certainly. In the business world, see what's going on today. People think they've figured out a way to make their quick money and end up losing everything. Sadly, we even see this in the church sometimes. People who think they have it all figured out, I'm in charge, I can build my own little kingdom instead of God's kingdom, and then they eventually are discovered to just be another fool. I hope that we will be wise enough to admit, I don't know it all. I still need God. I still need correction and rebuke sometimes. I still need other believers to help me. As we read through Proverbs, notice that wisdom is often treated like a person. It's wisdom that throws the banquet. Wisdom invites the guests to come and receive the food. It's wisdom that calls out to those in need. And I think what we're supposed to hear from that or understand from that is that wisdom flows from God himself. Wisdom and God are sort of used interchangeably in the book of Proverbs. And so it's God who invites us to find his wisdom. It's always God's wisdom that we seek after, not the world's wisdom. And the truth that we need to see from this is that we can't find wisdom without first knowing God. And as we grow in our relationship with God, as we seek to honor him, then we will discover more wisdom. And that's why it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so the truth for us is that seeking after God leads to wisdom, and wisdom leads to blessing. We find wisdom as we seek after our Lord, as we grow in our relationship with God. We discover his wisdom as we read and obey his word, as we live lives that seek to honor him. We're not perfect. None of us will be perfect. We're not perfect in our knowledge of God or in our wisdom. We're not perfect in our faith, but as we grow in our faith, we will also grow in God's word and God's wisdom. And God makes this wonderful promise that if we seek after him, we will grow in wisdom. And as we grow in wisdom, he will bless us. And so it says, if you're wise, your wisdom will reward you. Making good decisions leads to a better life. Doing what is right protects you from dangers and sins. Following God's word keeps you on that safe, straight path that God knows is going to be best for you. And so you think about those gold miners up in the Yukon again. And they dig through all those piles of dirt and rocks, and they wash away mountains of worthless earth just to find a few little specks of gold. Because they know that that gold is worth all the effort. Finding wisdom from God is worth the effort. And if we seek after him, and if we follow his wisdom, then God promises to bless us and to lead us in safe, straight paths. And that's why we read his word and try to read it with teachable hearts. It's why we wait for direction from his Spirit. It's why we listen to one another in the church. Acquiring wisdom will take our whole lifetime. We'll never have enough in this life. But God is inviting you to keep seeking after him. Keep digging for his truth. Keep finding his wisdom. Keep seeking after those good things that he has for us. So let's give thanks to God for his wisdom. Let's pray that he will continue to reveal his wisdom in our hearts. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the promise that you do have wisdom for us. And Lord, we confess that there are times we go our own ways or we listen to the world and think the world is wiser than you. Lord, bring us back to your path. Remind us to open up your word. Teach us to hear from your Spirit. Help us to be humble enough to listen to one another, our fellow believers. And Lord, I pray that as your wisdom fills our hearts, that you would help us to lead good and joyful and peaceful lives that can be a blessing to others even as you bless us. Lord, we thank you for these great promises. And we pray this in Jesus' name.